help you lately? Like in the last couple of days?
In the last week or so. Let's see. So NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, which in my Kindle is page 289. Where is it for you guys?
290.
And I'm scooting away from you, not because I love you less. Because I'm getting a little too much light. Huh?
Chapter 4?
Yes, chapter 4. All right, so here we go. As a servant of mine. Because remember, this 1 Corinthians kind of started, if you're still hanging in here, you know, it's because you really do want to be my servant. Otherwise, you would have put this book down a long time ago. As a servant of mine, you will learn things that will bring you great joy. They will seem to be revealed to you, so you will know they are my gifts to you. What is revealed to you is revealed for you and for everyone. For when it is revealed to you, it is also communicated to everyone through communication to the one mind that you share. One thing that's really interesting about this paragraph is use of the word reveal. Having something revealed to you is so much different than thinking about it and figuring it out. It, you know, people have things revealed to them in a lot of ways. But probably the most common way is what we would just call the sudden aha. Just suddenly, you know, you get it just out of nowhere. But, you know, people can have things revealed to them in dreams. People can have things revealed to them through, you know, mystical experiences. We talked a little bit about that. But the most common way is just suddenly you see. And it can occur anytime. It can occur while you're in contemplation. It can occur while you're reading a book. It can occur while you're taking a shower, washing dishes, driving. You know, just something comes in. So that's when you know that it's something real, or at least real in that it points toward truth, rather than made up. Because your mind can read these books and think about it and think about it and think about it and come up with a theory, and that theory could be off because it's intellectual. It may not be right at all. But when something is revealed to you, it's gifted to you, that you can trust. So look for the sensation of it was given, it was revealed. I didn't figure it out.
How do you like that? Last part,
oh, to everyone. Yes, communicated to everyone as it's communicated to you at some level. So, sentence 5. Do not judge yourself for what you believe are your shortcomings. Remember that you are practicing to be one with me through your own decision to accept our oneness as your only truth. Because you still listen to the ego and believe it is you, you will seem to make mistakes in your own perception. But there are no real mistakes, since there is only truth, which does not change, and illusion, which isn't reality. This experience of waking up is a funky thing, because in reality, and this is what we're told by all of the great masters, when we truly wake up, what we realize is we've always been awake. You know, when we realize what we are, we realize it's always been present. So it's kind of interesting that we're trying to wake up when awakeness already is. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. And then not only are we trying to wake up, but we all make mistakes. Like, you know, we're guided to stay in our heart, and it's made very easy for us by this light, open feeling in the heart. We can do it, piece of cake. Ah. But I'd rather have, you know, chocolate-covered popcorn than stay in my heart. And since I can feel my heart isn't going for the chocolate-covered popcorn and my mind really wants it, I'm going to leave my heart now and go have popcorn. I mean, we do these things. However, the real problem isn't those seemingly mistakes. The real problem is the judging of ourselves for it. And the only reason that's a problem is because we reinforce the belief that we're bad. Every time we judge ourselves, we reinforce the belief that we're bad, which kind of, you could say, makes it more real for us. So it's not at all helpful. When you watch yourself make a mistake, right, and you watch it without any judgment, you just observe it, you're really telling yourself it wasn't that big of a deal. It's not a reflection on who I am. It can't affect who I am. You see, those ideas are pointing toward truth and away from falsehood. So judgment always points towards falsehood and just awareness and acceptance of whatever, even if you just made a huge mistake, you know, you lost your temper and screamed really evil things at a poor bank teller and made her cry, right? If you can just watch that, and even if you feel guilty, you watch that. You know, the more watching you can do, the more you're actually moving away from the belief that you're bad and moving towards the realization of the unaffected changelessness that you are. So it's even somewhat logical. You know, it kind of makes sense if you look at it, how one is helpful and the other is not helpful, judgment. Therefore, when you believe you have made a mistake, turn to me. Ask me to use your perception for learning. In this way, you open yourself for another thought of mine to be revealed. In this way, you use everything within your experience as an opportunity to practice opening as an empty shell. And again, an empty shell has no ego thoughts in it. It's just open. It's ready to be the pencil in the hand of God, right? So let's say you did, you know, lose your temper and scream really meanly. I mean, just as mean as your voice can go at a bank teller, a young bank teller, and, you know, maybe she's new and was trying her best and she starts crying. For most of us, that guilt is going to come up, especially if we're core students and we're trying not to do that. And, you know, we're going to judge ourselves as, I just really blew it royally and I hurt someone, right? But what Spirit is saying, so you're walking out of the bank, you feel like, you know, the biggest piece of crap in the world. When you get in your car, Spirit is saying, what you should do is now take your time to turn this perception over to me. You sit down and you say, I lost my temper. I feel like I treated her unfairly. I feel like I failed in my, you know, role as a core student or an NTI student. I feel really guilty. These are all the things that I feel and believe about myself. Now, I willingly give them to you, and I ask you to help me see in a way that is helpful. Because again, one way of seeing is not helpful, and the other way of seeing is helpful. So you want to trade it in. You want to trade in all of your, you know, thoughts that are telling you how awful you are. You want to trade them in and let Spirit give you something that will be helpful now. And if you're willing to do that, then what can happen? It could happen right then, or it might not happen right then, but you trust it will come, and you get in your car and you drive away and you say, I'm going to remain willing. You may still feel the guilt, but I remain willing. I trust something will come. Something will show up. You may read it later in a book. Somebody may say something. It may dawn on your mind. When I first started this process, on average, from the time I turned something over to Spirit until the time I had my answer was 2 days. Later, it got to be instant. And so I don't know what's the difference in the change. I don't know if it's just having, you know, more stuff cleared out of my mind so I was able to receive clarity faster or whatever. However, even though it was 2 days in the beginning and instant later, what I've had 100% success with is I always got an answer. You know, there was an apparent time delay in the beginning, but I've never turned something over to Spirit and not got an answer. And the answer has come a number of ways. I mean, I've had the great mystical experiences. I've had the answers come in dreams. I remember one night, I don't remember what the problem was, but I was really upset about something. Just, you know, really. I can't remember what it was. And I was sitting there praying about it. I was reading the Course, and the Course was not helping me at that point. Whatever was wrong with me was not. So, you know, sometimes you can read something and you're not even hearing what you're reading. It was just a waste of time. So I stopped and I closed my eyes. And as I closed my eyes, like the wind or something blew some pages in the Course. It turned to a different. And when I opened my eyes, there was the answer. You know? I mean, it can come in so many ways. And another way that people mess up, for lack of better words, and not realize their answer is expecting the answer to come in a certain way. Like, I'm supposed to hear the booming voice of God. There are so many ways it can be a song that you've heard 1,000 times, and suddenly you hear one line that you never heard before, and that line is your answer, right? So you want to be open to your answer coming in any way at all. You know, who cares how it comes, right? What matters is that your perception is turned around from pointing in the direction of not helpful to then pointing in the direction of helpful, right? So just turn it over and then be open for the answer and be patient in case it's not immediate.
Couple things on that. First thing being that...
I want to sit closer to you. I want to make sure that I can hear you.
The first thing being that as that happens, as you are willing and you do get answers, and it may be a couple days, it may be a month, who knows, before you actually get the real answer to what it is that you're looking for, as you're shown over and over and over again that the answer will come, you become more and more receptive and willing.
Yes.
And when you become more receptive and willing, the answer comes much quicker than it did before, because the answer and the problem are not separated by time. There's no interval of time that we're looking at. It's all right now, everything. And so the answer to the question is always right there with the question. And so it's just how quickly I'm able to hear or willing to hear. And so that's one thing on that. And then also, if you're concerned about, you know, maybe I did something that makes me feel guilty, or I did something that I probably shouldn't have done, or said something I shouldn't have said, and you go away from the situation and you are feeling like you've done something wrong and you're bad and you're guilty and you deserve to be punished or whatever, think about the fact that this is a classroom and we're here to learn. We're not here for any other reason. The only purpose that we're here is to remember who we are, to remember our true being. And for me, thinking about even times in the past when someone has been a real jerk to me, and when that person has been a real jerk to me, it made me go inside and look at my own process and think about my own behavior, and has actually been a positive thing that has changed me. Not saying you should go around being a jerk to people because it's going to change their mind. Saying that you don't know the purpose of any of these things. And so, you know, you lost your temper and you yelled at somebody and you made them feel bad and you feel bad. Recognize that that may be a complete turning point in their life, that they're going to think or know or hear or find something that is going to completely change the way that they are. I know I've been very grateful later on to people who were mean to me because I recognized, oh, if that hadn't happened, I would never have known this thing. I would never have heard this thing. I would never have asked for this answer. And so you can't, you know, you can question your behavior and you can feel guilty if you would like. But you know, the fact is there's nothing going on here other than we're here to grow. We're here to learn. We're here to remember what we are.
Well, and one image that always helped me when I was learning not to judge myself, like Lynn said, this is a classroom. The only reason we're here is to realize who we are. We're learning. I started imagining, you know, little babies that are learning to walk. You know, I mean, how many times do they fall down? But you never see a baby judging themselves and telling themselves, you know, they're awful and they're bad. And they just keep trying. They just get up and try again. They fall down. They get up and try again. Then eventually, they're taking like 4 or 5 steps. Eventually, they're walking across the room. Pretty soon, they're running. Later, they're driving. You know, you know, it just goes on. But, you know, so if we can just be like babies and just, okay, so we tried. We fell down. We tried, we fell down, that's what happens. But that's how you finally learn to walk, run, and drive, and fly if you become a pilot, right? So fortunately, pilots don't fall down every time they try. Yes?
You say that we ask and we are going to receive the answer for us ask. But how am I going to know that is that answer is the truth? Because I thought sometimes that answer can be that I want to be the answer, not the answer for the Holy Spirit, you know?
Right. The true answer to that was in the paragraph, a couple paragraphs above, about look for the sense of realization. You know, again, lots of people will start thinking. They'll start rationalizing. They'll start taking stuff they learned and figuring out an answer to make themselves feel better. That's not it. You want to stay in complete innocent, the second time I've used the word innocent child walking, complete innocent I don't know-ness. You don't want to figure out the answer for yourself. You just want to say, I don't know the answer, right? And if you stay in I don't know-ness, something will come and you will know it didn't come from you. You'll know it didn't. It's a realization. And that's how you know it's from spirit, because you know it didn't come from you. You know you didn't figure it out or think it up. So be willing to stay in, I don't know how I'm going to see this differently. Don't be looking for, how can I see this differently? That's the difference. Do you see? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing that goes with that, too, is that even if you accept the answer and you say, oh, I know now, and this is the answer to my question, if it's not really, and if that's not the real answer that you need, it will come up again. It will keep coming up until you actually realize the true answer to your question. It'll come up in a different way, maybe in a different situation. You'll be faced with the same situation from different people or different opportunities, and you'll say, eventually, what happened to me was, I call it my toilet moment. One night, I was sitting in my bathroom, looking at the tiles on the floor in my bathroom, and I suddenly came to understand that I have kept doing the same thing over and over and over, and looking for different responses. Now, I know everybody says, well, you know, Einstein said that. That's insanity.
The definition of insanity, right?
But it's true. I didn't recognize it for myself until I recognized it right then. Oh, my gosh. I have been reliving the same moments over and over with different people in different situations and different jobs, different houses. You know, it all seemed different, but when I looked at it, I recognized it was the same problem that just kept coming up in a different way. And right then, because of the problem I was looking at the time, right then I recognized, oh, the answer is, and then I knew what the answer that was, and that never came up again to me. I never saw or heard or had any imaginings of that thing happening ever again. So, but until then, it will keep coming up in different ways. Mm-hmm. Well, that's my experience.
Yeah. Well, also, what you said in that is that you suddenly, you didn't use the words, but you suddenly realized. You said you suddenly came to know. So again, you know, when it's a gift from the Holy Spirit, it comes as a realization. You know you didn't figure it out. It's a gift. It's a gift. So look for the sense of gift in it. All right, so let's see the next paragraph. Verses 6 to 7. When you do not forget and you remember to be an empty shell in service to me, be grateful to me and to yourself. In this way, you recognize that we are one. So what this is saying is, you know, when you notice that there was a period of time when you really were not thinking unnecessarily, I mean, you may have been thinking, like as you were balancing your checkbook and thinking as you were trying to figure out, you know, how to program the computer, but you weren't like story thinking, right? You were tool thinking. You were using the brain as a tool, but you weren't story thinking. You may notice there was this time when you weren't really story thinking. You were just open. You felt like you were in the flow. You were easily moved by intuition. Spirit says when you notice that you were there, go ahead and be grateful to it. You know, be grateful for it. Because if you guys know the secret, what they tell you is whatever you're grateful for, you attract to yourself, or some other people might say it expands. So if you're really grateful for the fact that you were in the flow, that you were not listening to stories, just be grateful for it. You bring that same power of gratitude to that. But then what Spirit also says in that is be grateful to both you and me. Some people will be grateful to Spirit. Some people might be grateful to themselves. Spirit says be grateful to us both, because we were both a part of this. It was through your willingness that you were the empty shell, and then it was through my movement that you were moved. So be grateful to us both. And if you're grateful to us both, what eventually happens is the idea of both actually begins to vanish. Because you start to realize there was no both there. There was a oneness happening. But start off by being grateful both to Spirit for its part in your moment of being in the flow, and be grateful to yourself for getting out of the way, for being willing, right? For being present. Sentence 3. Do not make the mistake of believing that an empty shell is something other than me. It is not. It is only me. This is possible because it is an empty shell and no one else. So, another thing that can happen is, and this happens a lot, is that you will have moments or minutes or hours of pure being in the flow. Again, the only way you're using the mind is as a tool. You know, you may be using it to read a recipe and cook, right? That takes the mind. But you're not thinking stories. You're just not there. And what will often happen, I mean, that openness is a wonderful feeling. You know, anybody who's experienced it knows it's wonderful. But for most of us, in the beginning, you know, we experience it for a while and then we go back to our normal thinking head, right? What will often happen when you go back to your normal thinking head is your normal thinking head will look back at that open experience and say, look what I did. I was open. And there's like a credit taking that happens. And so what Spirit is saying here, even though Spirit just told us to be grateful to ourselves, it was be grateful to yourself for getting out of the way. Be grateful to yourself for being willing. It wasn't be grateful to yourself for doing it, right? Spirit says, don't think that you did it. What you did was not be there, really. You, the thinking mind, the one that's now trying to take credit, what you did was not be there, so you didn't do anything. Everything that was happening in that flow was really me. So don't let the mind come back and take credit for your times of openness, because it will try to do that. And it will, in fact, a great example of that, have you seen the movie Peaceful Warrior? But if you haven't seen it, it's a great movie, Peaceful Warrior. But in it, he's taught how to be in the moment, not be thinking, right? And he's a gymnast, and he follows his teacher's instructions, and they call it take out the trash. That's how he empties his mind. He takes out the trash, he's totally in the moment, and he does this incredible gymnastics routine. It blows everybody away, because it's even on the pommel horse, which isn't his area of expertise. But then after this incredible, spontaneous routine, he comes running in the teacher and says, I did it! I did it! And the teacher's like, you did what? And he goes, I used your trick, and I did had this great routine. And his teacher, like, you haven't learned anything. You know, because as soon as the mind came back, he took the credit. So, sentence 7. Therefore, do not praise your brother or yourself apart from me for my word as it is shared. Thank your brother for being a shell, and be grateful that you remembered to put yourself aside, but thank me for my word. In that way, you acknowledge what is real for its reality, and you thank that which isn't real for recognizing its unreality and for getting out of the way of truth. Another common mistake that we make is when we are with someone who is clear, and they're speaking the clarity, we give them the credit, right? You know, that just happens all of the time, you know, whether it's Muji, whether it's Adi Ashanti, you know, Jeff Foster, Bentino Massaro, it doesn't matter who it is, we act like he's clear, you know, or Byron Katie, she's clear. And Spirit's saying, you know, don't do that. There really is only one clarity. There's one clarity. And that clarity is now coming through this body, and it's coming through that body. Make sure you give the credit to the one clarity. Yes, sir.
Well, I was going to say, if we recognize the clarity of the clear person, then we have that clarity in us.
Exactly. Same clarity.
So.
Yes. So you know, try to move away from the habit of making someone else clear in your mind. Just say, there is clarity. And I will tell you, another way that that's going to be helpful is some people are extremely clear, but then they also have moments of, or hours or weeks of pure ego. And if you start thinking that person is clear, and then you get to know them well enough, and you see their moments or hours or weeks of ego, then there's a confusion that happens in your mind. How could this happen? You know, he was so clear. But what happened was there were moments or hours or weeks when this one was open and clarity was coming through, and then this one reattached to the ego because it wasn't dead, and the door slammed on clarity, and now there's ego there. And later, they'll surrender again, and they'll open up, and there'll be clarity. So clarity is itself, and it shows up when the ego is out of the way, right? So just recognize clarity is clarity, and then be grateful to yourself when clarity comes through you. You know, don't take credit for it, but be grateful that you got out of the way, right? Be grateful for that so that, you know, more of that can happen. Be grateful to your brother that your brother gets out of the way and lets clarity happen. But don't get a clarity and a body mixed up as one.
And also to know that the clarity is always there, whether the ego is clouding it up or not.
Right. Clarity, yeah, the ego just blocks it. Like clouds over a blue sky. Okay, verses 8 to 17. I am with you to bring you back the memory of who you are. With me you shall remember, because you recognize yourself in me. Okay, so that's really important too, because as we learn to get out of the way, which is what 1 Corinthians is all about, and we learn to allow clarity to come through us, the more we do that, the more we start to realize that there's no separation between us and the clarity. Again, eventually what begins to happen is your identity will shift, and you'll actually identify more with the clarity than you will with the ego. So by allowing, you know, by letting yourself get out of the way and allowing clarity to come through in whatever way it does, you're really starting to recognize yourself, is what's happening, because that clarity is the reflection of the real you. Sentence 3, do not make the mistake of forgetting who I am when you do know. I am you. I am your truth. So what Spirit is really asking us to do here is to remember that clarity is in us or with us, or that we are clarity, however you want to word that. Any of those are good. If someone else is speaking clarity, if this is your experience, someone else is speaking clarity, and you hear that clarity and it really resonates with you, why does it resonate with you?
Because it's in you.
Because somewhere in you, you know it. You may have so many clouds over that clarity that it's not conscious all of the time, but you know it. That's what resonate is all about. You already know it. You appeared to hear it outside, but you knew it. So don't forget that you know it, even if it's not completely conscious, right? You may not be able to have it at the forefront of your mind and at the tip of your tongue all of the time because of the ego clouds, but you do know it. That's why you recognize it. So don't pretend like you don't. Don't pretend like you're an ignorant fool that doesn't know anything, right? It's just not super conscious to you right now. But you do know wisdom because it's a part of what you are.
I think that when it, when the resonation takes place, I think that's what makes it joyful and exciting, and we want more.
Yeah.
We want more revelation, shall we say, and more clarity on that for us, but for ourselves when we have it. But you know what I mean, for it to expand, for it to grow.
Yes.
And that's what it's.
Okay, let's see. Sentence 6. When you forget to remember what you know, you pretend to be what you are not. When you pretend to be what you are not, you believe what you think, and you think you are different from that which you are. Okay, so when you forget to remember what you know, you pretend to be what you are not. So, I mean, you know, obviously things like yelling at the bank teller happen in our moments of our forgetfulness. But not only that, often what can happen when we're on a spiritual path is we can be asking other people questions, which the wisdom was in us already. And so we start going to people saying, can you explain this to me? Can you tell me how this is? Can you, like we're suffering with our lack of knowledge and we're trying to understand someone else when actually we're pretending because the knowledge is already in us. So this is why sometimes, you know, maybe all the time, it's actually much more helpful to go inward with your questions rather than outward. Because if you learn to go inward with your questions, even if you don't get an answer immediately, even if it's 2 days or a week or a month before it comes, if you go inward with your questions and you trust the answer will come, when the answer comes, what you're doing is you're really starting to realize more and more that you do know, that the answers are there. Peace Pilgrim, in her book, talked about how when she was a young woman, I guess she became curious about what is God. And she started off by going around and asking everyone, what is God? What is God? And the only thing she knew within herself at that point was their answers weren't right. And she just kept hearing the it was like, that's not it, that's not it. And she says, so one day she was walking in the woods with her dog, and she started, you know, just kind of musing on the idea, you know, what is God? And she started to realize answers from within. And she said that's when she knew that you could get the answer to everything from within. Now that's the absolute truth. You can get the answer to everything from within. But if every time you have a question, you go to others as if they know and you don't, you won't ever realize that. So you need to start learning to ask your questions within and then await for the answers to come in whatever way they are. And that's a part of how you start to really realize that everything you need, you have. Another great movie, Wizard of Oz. The Scarecrow wanted brains, but who was the smartest one out of the bunch? The Scarecrow. The Tin Man wanted a heart, but who was the most sensitive one out of the bunch? The Tin Man. And the Lion wanted courage, but in the end, who turned out to be the bravest one out of the bunch? Right? So they all already had what they thought they didn't have. And that's true of us. But you have to go within to discover that. You never discover that by constantly seeking on the outside. Sentence 8. I ask you to lay your thinking aside, and with it you lay aside all pretending that isn't truth. This is to make yourself an empty shell. An empty shell is not the absence of you. An empty shell is the absence of delusion, which you are not. Now again, we really believe we are a thinking. So most of us, even if we do talk about the idea of go within with your questions, the mistake we make is we go within with our question and then we think we have to figure it out. We're talking about go within with your question and then wait for the answer. Don't think. Don't try to figure it out. Surrender it. So it's kind of funny because on the one hand I'm saying, you know, go within because you know everything already, but how are you going to find what you know? By staying with an I don't know attitude. I don't know. I don't know and I can't figure it out. I don't know. I don't know and I can't figure it out. I'm just going to, and you ask and you wait for the gift, right? Because the one that's trying to figure it out, that's the illusion. That's the false self. That's not who you are, and that's not what knows. The knowingness comes from your true self. But you're still identified with the false self, and you're really trying to communicate with or hear your true self. And in order to do that, you have to quiet your false self down. Otherwise, the false self is like the clouds, and you can't find the blue sky because there's too many damn clouds, right? So you ask, and then you stay with the attitude, I don't know. And as you stay with the attitude, I don't know, but open for the answer rises up from your own knowingness. How's that for a paradox? Sentence 13. In the clarity of your emptiness. In fact, look at those two words right there. In the clarity of your emptiness. So when you're not thinking, your clarity is there because there's no more clouds to block the sky, right? In the clarity of your emptiness, free from the delusion of false thoughts, you are free to hear your real thoughts. These are the thoughts that you recognize as me. I am not coercive upon you because I am your truth. Because I am your truth, I am eternal and I am now. Therefore, I can wait in peace and patience for you to recognize me. I can wait as long as you seem to be willing to wait. But know this, even your desire to wait comes from the delusion that you are what you are not. So one of the things that holds us back from awakening is thinking that we want something in this world. Like, what if I think I have to have junk food to be happy? And there's a major sacrifice in giving up junk food. That's going to cause me, now that I've discovered that the heart won't eat junk food, that's going to cause me to stay out of the heart. Because it's a sacrifice. I don't want to give up junk food. I'm not going to stay in the heart because I'm not going to get junk food. Well, who is that I that I'm defending? That's not my true self. My true self is the heart. So I'm keeping myself away from the true self, believing I'm the one that has to have junk food to be happy, right? And I'm physically, in my case right now, I would be like literally keeping myself out of it on purpose. So that's what this is saying. This spirit is saying, I'm not going to coerce you. I'm not going to come in there and when you leave the heart to have junk food, I'm not going to grab you by the hair and pull you back in the heart. Okay, if you want to leave the heart and eat junk food or drink alcohol or, you know, lie to everybody in your life and deceive them or, you know, just think you're the lowest person on earth or whatever the heck it is that you do when you leave the heart, you can. You're welcome to. I'm not going to coerce myself upon you. But the one that you're holding on to as you do that, that's not who you are. You're fooling yourself, you're playing a game. And the only way you're going to know who you are is to decide to let go of that and come back home. And when you come back home to the heart, which is through the practice of surrender in the beginning, this is how you're going to realize who you are. Right? So we're fooling ourselves when we're holding on to our false self. Therefore, in choosing not to be an empty shell, you are choosing to believe delusion over truth. The truth is, as it cannot be anything else. But you are choosing to believe that the truth is what it isn't, so you may continue with the experience of that which is untrue. That paragraph only matters if you really want to know truth. You could say that the purest desire in the world is the desire to know truth. And that's what this paragraph is appealing to, is your desire to know truth. It's saying, you know, the truth is what it is and it can't be anything else. And if you are choosing to believe your thoughts about this or your thoughts about that or your thoughts about whatever, then what you are doing is choosing illusion. And if you really want to know what the truth is, you know, it's appealing to that desire. If you really want to know what the truth is, you have to let go of those thoughts. It's the only way you're going to get what you really want. It's funny because I've heard different teachers. One that I kind of remember is Bentino talk about how prior to their awakening experience, when they were trying to awaken, one of the things that some of these people would do, and I think if I remember correctly, Bentino was one of them, would be study other people that had awakened and study how they had awakened so they could figure out how to awaken themselves. Okay, and it seems like I even remember Bentino saying he was trying to chart it, you know. Is that an empty shell? There's no emptiness in that. And unfortunately, what it took him to was realizing he couldn't. And he surrendered and gave it up, and that's when he became the empty shell and had his awakening experience, right? So, you know, remember that thinking is what keeps us from awakening. Thinking about how to awaken is still thinking. That's why I don't know is one of our best friends. Because if we're just willing to say, I don't know, well, there's no thinking behind that. I don't know. Trust is another best friend, because trust isn't trying to figure things out. It will just work itself out. I don't know how. I don't know who's there, but I trust. It is what it is another best friend, you know, because it doesn't judge. Well, it is what it is. I don't have to think about why this and why that and why not something. Just it is what it is. So these thoughts, these are helpful thoughts, because they keep us away from all of the thinking that we would do if we bought into the ego's thought system. So I don't know, trust, it is what it is. You know, trusting your intuition and what you are to do now. You know, lots of people can feel their intuition. It's so funny. They can feel their intuition. Their intuition may be like, okay, go do the dishes, right? They feel that, but then they get into this thinking, oh, would Holy Spirit tell me to go do the dishes? Where'd they just go? Stay empty, go do the dishes. That's easy. That's the easiest thing in the world. So if you realize that the purpose of surrender is to help you stay empty, not thinking, then why would you question? What does it matter? Go do the dishes, relax, watch some TV. You know, what does it matter? You're just following, because following is not thinking. You see? But when you start getting in there and analyzing it, would Holy Spirit tell me to do this? And is this, can I really hear? And can I, you're right there in thinking again. So trusting yourself and trusting your own intuition is another way to stay empty. Right?
And that is life in the present?
Yes.
That you said can be living in the present?
Yes, living in the present. Yeah, just trusting your current intuition. I didn't turn that light on. Is it as late as that looks like?
It's
8:12. Wow, I think we talked a lot in the beginning. Yeah.
What I was going to say about that is I've had some of the greatest realizations doing the dishes. taking a shower. I'm just, you know, it's go do the dishes. I'm going to do the dishes and suddenly, aha.
Yeah.
Or go take a shower. I go take a shower, suddenly, aha. Go, you know, if you listen and you just do what you're told.
That's it.
Then you're open. And yeah. Then you can just hear whatever it is.
Because again, you're not thinking. Not thinking is open. So even remember that, even thinking about awakening, thinking about am I hearing Holy Spirit or not, thinking is what you want to watch for. Were you going to say something, Dave?
I was just going to say that it's useful to me to do something mindless sometimes, like washing dishes, or it kind of occupies the mind and puts the mind on the back burner, and you're just kind of going through a mindless motion. For me, that sometimes quiets my mind enough to where things can come in.
Yes, exactly.
That's all I was going to say.
Yeah. All right, so we need an assignment for the week. And the assignment that is coming to me is just notice. Again, just notice. Don't try and control. Just notice when you are doing unnecessary thinking. You know, when are you thinking about stuff that you don't have to think about? Again, you might have to think if you're trying to program a computer. You might have to think, you know, what code goes here, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's using the mind as a tool. But when are you thinking of, you know, just notice, when am I thinking about stuff that I could totally live without this thinking? And just become aware of it. Okay?
Okay. Let me see if I understand. Is just do what I want to do at that moment? Yes?
You're talking about the surrender? It depends on what you mean by the word want.
Okay.
Yeah, and I. Yeah, it's tricky because depending on what the want and the I is, it could be the correct answer, it could not be. For instance, you know, like I said, this week I was guided to stay in my heart, and it's easy for me now. Like, this isn't something I'm trying to figure out, what the heck does that mean? I know how to be right here all the time. But then I have this great it's chocolate popcorn with white chocolate drizzle on it that I got in Florence, and it's really good. And I wanted to eat my popcorn. And within the heart, it's like there was a mental idea, but I couldn't truly muster up the wanting, because the heart didn't want the popcorn. So in order to get what the mind wanted, I had to leave the heart, get back in the mind, okay, now I want it, right? But if I was doing what I want at the mind level, that wasn't what I want at the heart level. So it's really a matter of learning to find that heart level of wanting, which often starts as an intuitive prompt. At least that's how I experienced it. It's kind of like you're just asking, you know, what am I to do now? You're kind of asking yourself. You're not asking some, you know, far away somebody that you can't hear. You're just asking yourself, what am I to do now? And a feeling will come up, you know, a feeling, just an idea in some way, you know, to do something, you know, to go ahead and, you know, clean your fingernails, you know, whatever. And then you just trust it and you go clean your fingernails. So it's not as much as what do I want as what am I feeling to do, right? What am I feeling to do? And then you may find resistance like I did. And you may say, well, you know, there's a feeling that it would be good to go clean my fingernails, but you know what I'd rather do? I'd rather go eat a cookie. Well, you can go eat a cookie and just observe that you did really feel to clean your fingernails. You know, just observe that there was another feeling and you're choosing against it, right? And that will help tune you into your intuition more. Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, this is what you're talking about this weekend. Well, let me tell you, first of all, I used to have this feeling of always having to do something and go out, like I'm going to miss something, you know, miss out on my friends and this and that. But this weekend, I had this feeling of just staying with myself. I spent all weekend with myself in my apartment, with my dog, and I just had the greatest time with myself. I just spent time cooking, I did what I wanted. Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's really, you know, some people would say it's what your soul wants rather than what your mind wants. Some people would call it guidance. There's different words that's put on it. But it's almost like there's a level of wanting that happens up here and there's a level of wanting that happens somewhere down here.
At the time, I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything. You know, I just felt great about what I was doing.
Well, you know, it's funny because A Course in Miracles says, when it talks about the advanced teacher of God, it says that the advanced teacher of God finally learns that all they have to do is, what is it, something like, give up what they don't want and keep what they do. So in the end, you're giving up what you don't want and you're keeping what you do. But by the time you get to be the advanced teacher of God, you're starting to know who you are and what you want. You're no longer confused by the ego's wants, right? Because at the ego level, if you keep what you want and give up what you don't, you're going to be like totally in ego land all the time. You're going to have some fat lady who does nothing but eat chocolate popcorn, right? And nobody's ever happy doing that, no matter how much ego tells them they're going to be happy. Do you know anybody that sat around and ate nothing but junk food and was happy?
Well, and actually, when you do that, when you go against what is your like soul calling or whatever you want, you're thinking about the other thing. Even if you are eating the chocolate popcorn, weren't you thinking...
I wish I wasn't. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so in the end, you're following your soul's calling all the time, and you just keep what you want, and you give up everything else. So, but it's a matter of making that transition to knowing what you want. So our assignment again was notice this week when you're doing unnecessary thinking that you really just don't have to. Like, you could give up that thinking, and you wouldn't be missing a thing, right? No lack. And I'm going to go ahead and stop the recorder.